Hi, everyone. It's Madge here. Before I start this grum, I wanted to let you know it's a great grum. We're going to be talking to Lady Bunny on her birthday, and we're going to hear all the wonderful things she has to say about Kamala Harris, among other topics. But first of all, I just wanted to mention that, just to people listening to the grum, that I just started a little Telegram group for Yeast Radio Chat. And I'm not going to post it yet, but I want to let you know you're welcome to join it. No donations required. I'm just going to give the link here for now, verbally. It's https://t.me/yeastradiochat. That's t-me/yeastradiochat. And now it's time to start the yeast. Who else would it fucking be on my own fucking program? I'm a lesbian. My name is Madge Weinstein. And I'm the bloated lesbian. That's my branding. Bloated lesbian. Only internet yeast. Radio listening, radio yeast. I really don't know what I'm going to talk about today. I don't feel any strong emotions about anything, really. Because I, Well, let's just say I've had it. I know that may sound like sort of a contradiction, but I have had it. I have had it. I've had it. I've had it with this pandemics. I've had it with masks. I've had it with mask shaming. I've had it with people who don't wear masks. And I've had it with people who do wear masks. Everybody's driving me fucking crazy. I got so valve-shamed yesterday, audience, on Twitter. And some guys like why would I engage? I have no idea. But some guys like, valve masks are bad. And then some other fucking dude who pretends to be a doctor is like, yes, you should wear a surgical mask over a valve. And then I, like an idiot, tweeted in reply, but can't you just tape the valve? I showed a picture because of my Cambridge mask website. God, am I going to really do a whole show about valves shaming? Val and Karen. Knots landing. Shaming. Valve. Not Val. Not Val shaming. Valve. Val and Karen. What was that? That woman, that short lady. The vavavoom of her era. What was her name? That kind of short blonde lady who was on that show. She played like the young, kind of slutty. Val and Ken, anyway, Val, so I sent a reply and I said, but you can just tape, oh my God, I can't believe I'm talking about that. You can tape your valve shut on the inside of the valve mask, and on the outside you can put the sticker on, and the manufacturer sends it to you for free. It says, valve deactivated, right? So I showed on the, as a reply to the tweet, I sent two pictures as the other reply to the guy who says, you can't wear a valved mask or you'll die, or you kill people. On one side, yeah, so I sent the picture of the inside with the sticker covering the inside of the valve. And then I sent the picture of the other side that's with the sticker that says valve deactivated for people to see on the outside, right? I said, why can't you just do this? And the guy didn't really answer. And he said, well, you know, you really need, if you have that, then for full coverage, you have to cover it with a surgical mask. Is the only way to wear a valved mask is to cover it with a surgical mask. You put the least protective mask on top and the most protective mask on the inside. Oh, these people are fucking insane. Isn't it enough to just wear a fucking mask? You have to just fucking shame the fuck out of everyone. Okay. So I was just trying to make the point that, look, I spent $60 on these fucking masks. I'm not going to fucking waste it because somebody's insane on social media, right? So then somebody else chimes in, some douche, and he's like, you can't cover, I don't think he saw my pictures. He said, well, you can't just cover the valve, because how are people going to know that your valve is covered? The whole idea is about letting people know that they're safe, he said, right? Letting people know that they're safe. So I wrote back and I showed a picture. Again, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you, audience. I showed a picture of this valve with the sticker on it that says valve deactivated. I said, this is how they know. It says valve deactivated. He said, but that wouldn't mean somebody has to get close enough to you to see that, and that would be unsafe. I said, well, then just stay home. And then the other comment this guy made was, he said, well, he said, you know, the whole idea is about protecting other people, not yourself. I said, well, then, you know, that's the opposite of what America is, because America is all about protecting yourself. Otherwise, we'd have Medicare for all. And he said, I don't understand your statement. I don't understand both halves of your statement. I said, well, this conversation is over. Thank you for engaging me. And then he said some nasty thing, and that was the end of it. But, you know, I just, everybody's fucking crazy. The extreme mask people are crazy, and the extreme no mask people are crazy. And then there's everybody in between who's like, okay, which I consider myself in between, because I'm like, okay, if I'm within 6 feet of people, I will wear a mask, and if I'm not, I won't. So if I'm outside, like right now I'm outside, there's nobody around, I'm not wearing a fucking mask. Okay, that's me, that's my decision. I'm not going to sit and judge somebody who's across the street wearing a mask even though there's nobody around. I don't fucking give a shit. And I'm sick of this fucking crazy ass shit. And then I'm watching CNN. Well, it wasn't CNN. It was a clip of this huge fat guy, 21 years old. And there was a story. He was being interviewed by, I think, Brooke Baldwin or somebody. And he was, and they label it, this guy had total organ failure, not total, but organ failure a week after he got COVID, almost died, right? And he's only 21. And Brooke Baldwin says, and the guy's fucking huge. He's probably 300 pounds, 21 years old. She says, well, you're obviously a healthy young man. Wasn't it shocking to you that you got that sick from COVID? He's like, yeah. No, it's not fucking obvious. He's obviously unhealthy. He's fucking obese. And we know from science that obese people are 9 times more likely to end up in the fucking ICU if they get COVID. So how can you just ignore the fact that he's obviously unhealthy? Right? And I'm by no means suggesting that if somebody gets COVID and they're young, it's because they're unhealthy. Because obviously perfectly healthy people do get it, but he clearly wasn't an example of that. He was an example of an unhealthy person, but we ignore the whole issue of obesity as an extraordinary risk factor to getting very sick from COVID. It's just completely ignored because it's politically incorrect to say you're fat and it's all about body positivity and Lizzo, rah, rah, rah. But the fact is, if you're obese, you're much more likely to get very sick from COVID. But we don't talk about it. We don't tell people to eat healthy because, you know, that's just, you'll get canceled. It's all fucking crazy. I can't deal with it. And I'm going to get canceled for saying that just now. I know people are going to get snotty about that because they're going to read into it, because I'm not taking the party line. There's a party line you're supposed to take. You're either pro-mask or you're anti-mask. There's no fucking, I don't even like to use the word nuance because that word is fucking overused. Today's Lady Bunny's birthday. Let me see if she's around. Maybe she'll at least take my call for a fucking birthday.
Hello, Madge. Hello, Madge.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm recording, so I hope you're not high or whatever.
Not at all.
Thank God. So, did you get my message? I sent you a sweet message professing my adoration for you, my video.
No.
You didn't see it? Yeah, I made a nice recording. I said you're a filthy.
Where did you send it?
No, it was a comment on your Facebook.
Facebook.
It was a picture of me a video message. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can check it later.
Well, my good friend died yesterday, so I was kind of torn up over that all day.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's terrible.
One of my inner circle, and that inner circle was already shrinking, but she was a big part of it, literally.
Oh my God!
And a very beloved drag performer named Sugar Pie Coco, who was totally unique, and we don't see a lot of those in the drag community anymore.
Right. Well, you're not allowed to be unique.
Right.
You're allowed to be canceled.
She didn't wear lace front wigs or spend tons of money on specialty cosmetics, but she didn't need to because she had a spark. And, you know, she was actually, I mean, like, you know, she kind of had, you know, like googly eyes and was heavy and milked it with, you know, dresses made out of Mr. Good Bar or Walmart prints, or you know, Budweiser or whatever, came out with a bucket of fried chicken and you know, just acted crazy. And you know, it's like, if you're willing, if you have the physical attributes you know, to do that, and you actually go there and you don't mind, you know, making the joke about yourself,
right?
But there's nothing funnier.
So what you're saying is she actually had a personality, so she didn't need all that other bullshit. It sounds like
she had an act.
Right.
And, like, you know, one of my favorite things that she did is one time at Wigstock, she'd finished her number, and I said, would you like to say anything to the crowd? And put my arm on her shoulder, and she wrenched away from me as if I was the most repulsive thing on earth, and she couldn't believe that I had touched her.
As if.
I mean, so she was very, because, I mean, imagine how impossibly imaginative that is, thinking that I'm repulsed.
I couldn't imagine such a thing. Oh my God, they mentioned you. Has somebody told you that they mentioned you on Canada's Drag Race yesterday?
Oh.
You didn't hear that?
No.
Oh my God, so there's the French lady. Rutabaga. She's one of the top two in the competition at this point. And they're interviewing her, and she's the only one with a French accent who's left. And she's like, what were your inspirations for drag? And he goes, my inspiration was Lady Bunny, because it was nice. She was the first drag queen with size. She's the first sort of big lady drag queen who I could aspire to, or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But then I have to do is eat to inspire people.
I like to think I inspire people with my lesbianism, because people think I'm a drag queen, but I'm just a lesbian, and I'm proud of that. You know?
What is that anime avatar on your... That is so scary.
Well,
why do people make those? They never look like anyone.
Because it's easier than putting on makeup and a wig. I mean, dress.
Like, your makeup and wig is so time-consuming.
Fuck you. It is for me. I mean, it's not first of all, it's not a wig. That's my real hair. But,
yeah,
it is fucking time-consuming, because I have to shave. You know, real lesbians have facial hair.
No, you don't. Not with your faraway angles.
Oh.
And some dykes have beards.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking I might do that. That's become kind of fashionable lately with drag queens, I know, is the beards. But that's why, then I'll even get more confused with a drag queen if I grow a beard. You know what I mean? Like Lucy Stuhl.
Don't you dare get confused and call anyone the wrong name.
Well, Lucy Stuhl used to be a self-proclaimed piss goblin on Twitter. Then she got woke and canceled everyone, and now she's like all goody-goody. But she still has a beard.
Well, the other thing I think is quite interesting is that she now bills herself as Lucille Stuhl.
Oh, so fancy. Lucille.
But it also kills the joke.
Right.
Unless you knew her before. I mean, I did know her before, and I thought that was quite funny, but she's selling a line of designer butt plugs on Twitter, and I visited the site, and I had to... to tweet to her. I said, girl, what kind of friends and fans do you have? All the small ones are sold out.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
The small butt plugs are sold out.
Just the small?
Do you have a very young fan base? I'm like...
I was watching, somebody posted one of the Instagram stories yesterday. This woman takes her mask off. It's a video. She takes her mask off, and then this humongous, like, 12-inch dildo comes out of her mouth. It's hilarious.
I think I posted a tweet, retweeted it.
Maybe it was you. Yeah, so fucking funny.
Oh, no, she was talented.
Yeah. So, tell me what you think of the whole Kamala business, the new zoo review. I don't even know what you call it. What do you think about that whole business with Kamala? Just curious.
So, in many respects, Kamala is a miss because she was not popular. She dropped out before winning a single delegate or primary. Uh-huh. And so she doesn't bring popularity to the table. She, you know, dropped out before she was going to lose in her own state, and she's coming from a big blue state where the Democrats going to win anyway. Right. So she doesn't bring, you know, like a different state, like if Val Demings or Stacey Abrams were chosen from a red state. Uh-huh. So she doesn't bring that. And then this is a time, you know, when there's this racial unrest, and she is, so there's this idea that, you know, because the Democrats love diversity and inclusivity, unless you're talking about diverse ideas, then they do not like it. And Kamala is indeed physically diverse. She is a half Indian, half black female, but she is basically a black Hillary, and you know, there is nothing progressive about her, and so she doesn't, you know, her choice choosing Kamala doesn't bring anyone new into the voters. The people who like her are, I mean, she never even appealed to black voters. Elizabeth Warren, who spoke about reparations, was more popular with black voters than Kamala. And people tend to sense that Kamala is very phony. She, you know, I guess after that attack on, Joe Biden in the first debate, I guess someone told her giggle a lot to seem likable because she started giggling a lot. And so, you know, while I get the fact that, you know, we should have, you know, diversity and it would be nice to pick a black woman, you know, in times of racial unrest, it's ridiculous to pick Kamala. She's exactly the opposite because of her, you know, reputation of as California's attorney general, as a top cop who did things like send parents to jail if their, you know, kids didn't go to school. She had, you know, more, she locked up many black and brown people, including things for weed, which her successor just expunged. You know, so here we are talking about Black Lives Matter and defunding the police and all of this stuff, and she's, you know, referring to herself as a top cop. She's laughing when asked if she smoked marijuana, yet locked people up. She kept people in prison longer so that they could, you know, be used for prison labor, which is kind of like slavery. And wow, don't you want the black woman who is pro-slavery? I mean, you know, it's just because of the Black Lives Matter, you know, movement that is, you know, so big, and because of her record as California's AG, she could actually turn people against the party. She could turn people who were, you know, already aware of Biden's horrible, you know, 94 crime bill record away from the party, you know, but if they had picked a Karen Bass, who, you know, also from California, but seen as more progressive, and her big issues have been racial equality and working on healthcare, which clearly is a need in a pandemic. So that would have kind of, that might have made, you know, reluctant progressives who felt like they're getting absolutely nothing out of a ticket helmed by someone senile, like Joe, who is more conservative than Hillary. You know, progressives feel that they're getting absolutely nothing out of this. And if they had picked a Karen Bass, they could have easily, gotten, some voters that weren't.
Who's Karen Bass?
Karen Bass is a representative from California. She's a black female, and her issues have been racial equality and fighting for health care.
She's a congressperson? U.S. Congress?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I mean, Kamala was actually on that Breakfast Club claiming that the Colin Kaepernick stuff, the uproar over the taking a knee, was being spread by Russia. So she's a Democrat through and through, and I find it very scary that she is so close to the presidency, because Joe is clearly ill.
So you think she's more dangerous for the presidency than Joe Biden?
No, I think they're both awful.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she just voted against, along with Dianne Feinstein, the Bernie Sanders proposal to shave 10% off of the military budget,
yeah,
to go to food and education and healthcare.
They should shave 50%. But what do you think about this?
50%, but she wasn't even willing to entertain 10%.
I know.
And this shows. I mean, she knows that she's in the running. But listen, this is what a bullshit person Kamala Harris is. She attacked Joe Biden for a racist busing policy, and then she said, oh, that little girl was me. I was the one affected by this. That little girl was me. She had T-shirts ready to go with herself as a little girl saying that little girl was me, ready to sell within hours. So this was all like a pre-planned stunt about how she was going to take on Joe Biden, because there's some idea that she's like a tough prosecutor. So meanwhile, a week later, she admits that this whole thing was for show, because she has the same policy basically on busing as Joe Biden. So that was all a stunt to get attention, and it proves that she will pull the race card, that she will milk a personal story for absolutely nothing. So she is a complete phony, and I hate the fact that Joe is in such bad shape that Kamala, could be president. Now, no one wanted her. That's why she dropped out before the first primary. She dropped out before Iowa, so we could get a president that, you know, that very few wanted. I mean, you know, but I think that the imperialist wing of the Democratic Party, you know, knows her commitment to AIPAC, knows her commitment to, continuing to be a hawk.
So for foreign policy, she's clearly a neoliberal. Is that right? I'm not familiar with her foreign policy.
Well, she's a neoliberal in every way. She'll be anything that you want her to be. She doesn't have any convictions at all.
So she doesn't support Palestinian rights at all?
I can't say not at all, but no. I watched I don't remember everything in this AIPAC speech that they've been spinning around. But, I mean, you know, the idea that the Colin Kaepernick stuff was stirred up by Russia.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
No, bitch. It was stirred up by racial injustice.
Yeah, of course.
Did Russia stir up slavery? Did they stir up How active are they? How powerful are they? We've got 800 military bases around the world. They've got like nine. So also Susan Rice, another establishment liar, who spread the word, you know, when she was gunning for us to attack Libya, where they now have open air slave markets. So we love, thank you, Obama, for getting Hillary Clinton and Susan Rice, you know, a high-level woman of color, to create slavery. Because that's not why I voted for the first black president. You know, it's like, this is an absolute joke. But she spread the word that we had to go in and attack Libya because Gaddafi was giving his soldiers Viagra to rape whoever they were attacking. It was totally false, but, that's what Susan Rice spread. And Susan Rice echoed Kamala's statements about Russia on the same Charlemagne Tha God Breakfast Club. It was on CNN. She claimed that the Black Lives Matter protests of late have come because of Russian interference. Mm. So she said, here's black women, Kamala Harris and Susan Rice, who are willing to denigrate Black Lives Matter,
without evidence,
to satisfy their military, aggression against Russia.
So let me ask you a question. So why, how come, I don't know what the website is. I'm not on my computer, but there's some like ranking that's been passed around quite a bit, some progressive caucus or some website where they list the most progressive voting senators, and Kamala is like listed as the number four or something. So why is she considered one of the most progressive senators? Is it just that they're all that bad that she's relatively the most progressive? I don't get that.
Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know, but here's a guess.
Mm-hmm.
She started off her campaign claiming that she was for Medicare for All and sponsored a bill, co-sponsored it with Bernie.
Right.
So, she wanted to get the progressive limelight and attract youth and people concerned with that. But then she backtracked and said that she wanted to keep private insurers. So we all knew she was bullshit. She had no policy on her website for months. Yeah. She was always a complete, I'll be whoever you want me to be. Just give me access to power so we can keep destroying the planet and we can keep, America's military dominance and keep Wall Street.
Right. Neoliberal shit.
Kamala Harris is a total nothing.
So where is she on Medicare for All? Because I don't get it.
She's the vice president
bullshit.
I love this tweet that someone tweeted. So does Kamala still support Medicare for All? Like the day she got the nomination, it's like, it doesn't matter what she supports because she's underling of someone who said he'd veto it even if it gets through Congress.
Right. But I'd still like to know because she could be president someday, you know? I mean, I want to know what
she... Medicare for All.
She what?
No, she does not support Medicare for All. She claimed she did to get progressive cred, as many did, and then they walked it back and said, many from Tulsi Gabbard to, others said, no, I want there to be private insurers, involved.
Oh, she did say that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was just like, something to say to make her seem progressive.
So here's what I want to...
At the outset.
I have a weird. So my friend Stacey Herbert suggested something, and I just want to see what you think because I thought it was just an interesting point. But she noticed the fact that the first black president and the first female potential black vice president, neither one of them is actually a descendant of slaves, and they're both half black. And she's wondering if there's like some reason for that, some sociological reason, or is it just a coincidence? I'm wondering what you think.
Well, I don't want to get into the, of course, even in black culture, black people with lighter skin and straight hair are sometimes favored in entertainment or business or whatever. So, you know, there could be something to that.
But
you know?
But I'm more interested in the fact that neither one, not so much that it's the lighter skin, but the fact that neither one is actually a descendant of a slave. You know, because Kenya, you know, Obama's father's from Kenya, and Kamala, I can't pronounce her name either. I'm like Tucker Carlson, but her father was from Jamaica, so neither one is actually a descendant of slave. And she's suggesting that maybe there's some, you know, like sociological reason that we can't face our, you know, our, I don't know what the word is, guilt for slavery or something. That.
Yeah, I mean, there's very complicated stuff going on with that ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves,
uh-huh.
who, you know, are claiming that, you know, they are deserving of reparations. But there's someone named Yvette Carnell who, you know, has been very vocal about this and gained a large following, but then was, you know, kind of photographed in a MAGA hat and, you know, or for all I know, Photoshop. But so she, there's a small black movement against Democrats, and, you know, there's these podcasters named Diamond and Silk, and what their whole gist, you know, is saying that, it's appealing to black people's pride and saying that, the Democrats make that the Republicans are the party of opportunity and entrepreneurship, and that the Democrats are the party of keeping blacks slaves to the welfare system and putting a cap on their you know, earnings.
See, when I hear entrepreneurship, I you know, to me that just means no health care. You know what I mean? That's what I hear.
Yeah. I mean, you know, another, you know, and it's, so, I mean, black voters did not like Obama at first.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, they have their own, you know, reasons that they pick people. And, you know, I don't always, you know, pretend to know, or, you know, how could I know, you know, everything that goes, you know, into the way that they make their choices.
Right.
But I do remember that they criticized Obama for being, I think they said that they thought he was too, you know, nice to win. Now, another thing about Kamala is that she has a white husband. So,
uh-huh.
There are a lot of black people who resent the fact that successful black people choose white spouses. I mean, that's just true.
Yeah. Well, I want to know what we're supposed to do with this information, because, like, it's not like we have a choice. And honestly, I didn't really give a shit who Biden picks for VP because I didn't have a preference. And I really don't think it matters. I'm glad it's not Warren, because I think I just think she's the shiftiest person, and she's such a nihilistic opportunist, the way she just shifted from a Reagan Republican to a so-called liberal so that she could get a job at Harvard. And then she goes from being progressive to becoming a centrist because, you know, I think she was in some sort of cahoots with Obama and Hillary, but that's just my paranoia. And that in order to lynch Bernie, and then she became a centrist for her own needs because she thought she could get the VP. So
which is my favorite thing about Kamala getting picked.
Yeah.
Now for two elections in a row, you know, Liz Warren, you know, did not support the progressive in order, and in this case, backstab the progressive.
Right.
She could have endorsed Bernie in 2016 in the hopes of getting,
right.
you know, Hillary's VP.
Right.
And then she did the same here, hoping to be whoever, Biden or whoever's, you know, VP, and stayed in the race longer. And it didn't happen either time. So if that's what what it was, then I say ha 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 to her. Her plan totally failed.
Yeah.
And she's one of the least popular senators in the country. So I can't imagine, you know, what to, I mean, she may be in the cabinet of Biden if he wins. But, you know, I have no idea. I have all I know is that I'm going to have to fight, regardless of who wins. I'm going to have to fight Biden or Trump on health care, you know, Green New Deal,
right?
You know, and so many other issues. So, you know, there's Biden is a Republican as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, it's I guess for me, like, because personally, and I think people have the right to vote for whoever they want to. I don't like to tell people who to vote for. I said personally, I'll probably vote for Biden, but I am in no way going to try and promote him at all because he doesn't support any policies, anything progressive. And it's just so sad to me that in an election that should be so inspiring, the best we can do is say, vote for this anything, a cockroach, because it's not Trump. You know, I think we as Americans, our highest aspiration should be something besides a negative that says we're going to vote for this person because it's not that. It's so fucking sad.
Then ask Biden supporters why they support him. You know,
because he's not Trump. That's why.
Yes, but they could be out saying, he's not going to get progressives. He's not going to get younger. Let me write him. Let me start a petition. Let me call his office and say support Medicare for all.
Well, I have.
Let me say I'll make a contribution if you support Medicare for all. Let them get busy.
That's
what the Bernie supporters did. You know, they ran around these fucking kids. These fucking 20-year-old kids or 18-year-old kids took their own money. That's how excited they were for Bernie Sanders to canvass for him and spread his message of the average person doing better.
But you know, Biden doesn't give a flying fuck. Every time he asks me for money, which is like at least twice a day. Well, not every time, but a couple times a week, I write him back. I say, I will not give you a fucking penny until you support Medicare for all. I've tweeted it. I've written to it. I've done everything. Not one response, nothing, just another email asking for more money. He doesn't give a flying fuck about progressive policies. And it's to me, he's just so obvious that they're begging to lose.
His record of lying, if he did say he would support it, I wouldn't believe it.
Well, it'd be better than nothing. But yeah, I do see your point. But to me, it's just like, we're just begging to lose. We're repeating the same mistakes as 16 because all these people are invited. Even Sean King says Biden shouldn't go out and give speeches. Biden probably shouldn't debate. Biden shouldn't even talk to, you know, an Axios reporter like Trump did for a half hour. He should hide. That's exactly what fucking Hillary did, and it cost her the election. What is wrong with these people? You know, Howard Stern invited Hillary to be on his show. He could have had 3 million converts. She could have had 3 million converts. But instead, she played it safe. And what is Biden doing now? He's playing it safe. No, you know what? If you're fucking senile, so what? Trump is senile, too. Get the fuck out there and talk to people. Because if I'm not going to buy a pair of pants that I haven't tried on, I'm going to vote for a president who won't show his fucking face except when he's with his stupid wife. Give me a break. It's idiotic how people think, and they think just because the polls show that he's winning, which same thing for Hillary at this point, that somehow that's magically going to happen, even though the past proves that to be incorrect. What people are living in a fucking fantasy land, and it's ridiculous because they're ignoring progressives. And then you have Obama who says, oh, progressives, you know, basically shaming people who don't vote. They show the big pie showing this big percentage of people who stay home, saying they're basically, he says, they're lazy and they don't care. That's not what it is. They have no representation. They don't vote because there's nobody that represents them. So why the fuck would they vote? That's what it's about.
People will tell me privately that Obama did nothing for black people.
Right. Well, that's true. I mean, I'm not black, but I've certainly heard that. And and the thing is, there was somebody on Matt Taibbi's podcast a few weeks ago was played a recording of him. I can't remember, somebody famous, but my memory sucks because I'm old as fuck. But he played a recording from 1990 something when he was talking about Obama. I think he was in like a city, some state rep or something, and he was talking about how there's this up and coming state person, whatever senator, named Barack Obama, and he's a neoliberal, but he's going after people by talking progressives progressive talking points, even though he's a neoliberal, and he might go very far. And that's exactly what happened. And I'm a fool, too, because when I voted for him, I was so excited. I gave him money in 2008. I went to his fucking the election day rally. I got a ticket and all this shit. Yeah. I saw him there with Biden, who, by the way, is just as orange as Trump. I couldn't believe he looks like a fucking character. And the whole time I was snowed because he's right. If I had just listened to, if I had read what he wrote and read his actual policies, I would have realized he's not a progressive. He's a neoliberal. There's a big fucking difference. But I got snowed, and so did a lot of people.
Part of the reason that we got snowed is the same reason that we are being snowed with Kamala.
But we should have learned.
It's the same, ooh, look over here.
Right.
The historic first black nominee as president, and now it's the historic first black female, a VP pick at the top of the ticket. It's like, honey, that is what she is. Tell me who she is.
Right.
And it is nothing that is going to help the working people of this country.
Well, it's symbolism. It's just like, instead of like actually defunding the police, let's just take down a statue of Christopher Columbus. It's symbolism. It's bullshit.
Yes,
but that's all we're capable of here in America.
I don't know the exact quote, but Malcolm X had a saying that said, oh, yeah, they'll always remove the symbols. They'll be glad to.
Uh-huh.
But there will be no real change.
I didn't know Malcolm X said that, but that's absolutely true. That's so true. I just wish there was some point to this. It's like, why are we even having this conversation? Because all we're doing is we're just basically saying, here it is again. Everybody's doing the same stupid shit over again. It's just so tragic, really.
I know. My blood really boiled when I saw a friend post, who are these woke people who are dishing a black woman that has been, chosen to VP, and I didn't type. I typed a response, but then didn't post it. I was just like, "What if the woman had hurt people of color when she had access to power? Would that be okay?"
Right.
Or is it? Are you pretending that every black woman is great?
It's just weird. I don't get it because, and I can say this, and
it's
I know it's weird.
It's dumb. It's dumb. And it is the result of years of Democrats preaching phony inclusivity when they never want to be inclusive of diverse ideas.
Right.
Ooh, last Congress 2018. Oh, well, girl, we've got a Palestinian. We've got one in a head wrap, for Christ's sakes. We've got an AOC.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And, it's like, But then don't let them start talking about Palestine.
Then how come they primaried every single one of them, right? If they're so proud of them.
I know.
But what I just want to understand one thing, and I know this is so wrong, and you don't want to talk about it, but how come Kamala, why does she get to be black and not Indian? She's half. Like, who makes that decision? I guess she does, or did media decide it? The whole thing, blows.
Don't ask that.
To me, it's
don't
so silly.
That because that's Trumpian.
Well, but it's so silly, though. The whole thing is so. To me, it shows how silly the whole concept of race is. It's completely arbitrary and ridiculous. But she's half Indian. Why can't she be Indian? Why can't she be an African Indian American?
Because they're not having an Indian Lives Matter protest.
It's so fucking cynical, but it's true. Oh my God, it's amazing. I don't know. Anyway, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I got to get back to work. I'm supposed to be working, Bunny. I actually have a day job.
Send me a link when this comes out.
Okay, it'll be later today. I'll send you a link, sure. But
I
hope you have a great birthday. I'm really sorry about your friend, and I'm gonna try and find footage of her on the YouTube so I can see what you're talking about. What was her name?
Sugar Pie.
Okay.
K-O-K-O, Coco.
Okay, I'll link to her.
Sugar Pie, K-O-K-O.
I'll link to her and put her in the show notes if I can find the YouTube. All right, Bunny, take care.
Thank you.
You too, bye. Bye, audience. I'm done. Stick a fork in my vagina.
Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
Radio reported the eyewitness accounts.
Hello, NBC. This is Bert Salmon speaking from Manila, and this time I've got a real scoop for you. Manila has just been bombed. In fact, right now it is being bombed. And without warning, Japanese bombers started bombing Fort William McKinley, Nichols Airfield, and the RCA transmitting station. At 9 minutes past 3 o'clock, without warning, right now, the moon is shining absolutely full. It's too pain. Stand out like mirrors. And there's no wonder that an enemy bomber could pick out any spot around this part of Manila tonight. It isn't the fault of the blackout. There isn't a light shining any place. But old man Moon just wouldn't stay blacked out.
For the first time in history, the entire nation would listen to a United States president asking Congress for a declaration of war.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. It will be recorded that the distance of Hawaii from Japan makes it obvious that the attack was deliberately planned many days or even weeks ago. The attack yesterday on the Hawaiian Islands has caused severe damage to American naval and military forces. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God. I ask that the Congress declare that since the unprovoked and dastardly attack by Japan on Sunday, December 7th, 1941, a state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
The Philippines were doomed. General Douglas MacArthur was ordered to Australia, while Major General Jonathan Wainwright was given the task of delaying defeat for as long as possible. General Wainwright held Bataan until April 8, 1940, when he surrendered to an overwhelming force of 200,000 Japanese troops. But the island fortress of Corregidor held out until May 6th. Then, Army listening posts in Hawaii heard these last drama-packed radio code broadcasts.
They're not near yet. We are waiting for God only knows what. How about a chocolate soda? Not many. Not near yet. Lots of heavy fighting going on. We've only got about 1 hour, 20 minutes before we may have to give up by noon. We don't know yet. They are throwing men and shells at us, and we may not be able to stand it. They have been shelling us faster than you can count. We've got about 55 minutes, and I feel sick at my stomach. I am really low down. They are around now, smashing rifles. They bring in the wounded every minute. It is a horrible sight. We will be waiting for you guys to help. This is the only thing, I guess, that can be done. General Wainwright is a right guy, and we are willing to go on for him. But shells were dropping all night, faster than hell. Damage terrific. Too much for guys to take. Enemy heavy cross-shelling and bombing. They have got us all around and from skies. From here, it looks like firing ceased on both sides. Men here all feeling bad because of terrific nervous strain of the siege. Corregidor used to be a nice place. It's haunted now. Withstood a terrific pounding. Just made broadcast to Manila to arrange meeting for surrender. Talk made by General Beebe. I can't say much. Can't think at all. I can hardly think. Say, I have 60 pesos you can have for this weekend. The white flag is up. Everyone is bawling like a baby. They're piling dead, wounded soldiers in our tunnel. I'm vomiting. Arms weak from pounding key long hours. No rest. Short rations. Tired. I know now how a mouse feels, caught in a trap, waiting for guys to come along, finish it up. Got a treat, canned pineapple, opening it with signal corps knife. My name, Irving Strobing. Get this to my mother, Mrs. Minnie Strobing, 605 Barbie Street, Brooklyn, New York. They are to get along okay. Get in touch with them soon as possible. Message. My love to Pa, Joe, Sue, Matt, Carrie, Joy, and Paul.
also to all family and friends. God bless them all. Hope they be there when I come home. Tell Joe, wherever he is, give him hell for us. My love, you all. God bless you and keep you. Love. Sign my name and tell my mother how you heard from me. Stand by.
The radio operator who sent those dots and those dashes and that fateful message was Corporal Irving Strobing. Now, miraculously, he survived the battle and many years as a Japanese prisoner of war. Very fortunately, he's with us now, and he is to tell us exclusively what happened after that last dot and that last dash were transmitted from Corregidor. Mr. Strobing, tell us exactly what did happen.
Well, Mr. Knight, the transmission was terminated when I was told that a Japanese tank was approaching the mouth of the tunnel. I thought it would be better for me to get further back in. We remained in the tunnel until the Japanese entered and took charge. We were then lined up in Malinta Tunnel itself, and in a kneeling position were tapped on the shoulder by a Japanese officer using a saber, and thus formally became prisoners of the Emperor.
You mean even under such circumstances they went to that degree of protocol?
It was unexpected, but it did happen.
Now, did you ever realize, Mr. Strobing, that your radio message from Corregidor was broadcast all across the country?
No, Mr. Knight, I really didn't. I knew that certain portions of it had definitely been received, but had no idea of just what dissemination was being made.
What were the conditions, and how did you manage to survive such an ordeal?
Well, Mr. Knight, the term of imprisonment lasted 1,216 days. The first portion being spent in the Philippines in a camp at Cabana Tawan until November of 1942, when I was removed to Japan itself. A 27-day voyage in the bottom hold of a Japanese freighter. Upon our arrival in Japan on the 27th of November in 42, I was put to work on a construction project, excavating by hand what was to be a dry dock and later pouring the concrete. After about a year and a half, I was transferred to another camp where we made little rocks out of big ones and also stoked the furnaces in a Japanese steel mill, and that lasted until September 5th, 1945, when we were liberated and returned to the United States.
Mr. Strobing, if I remember correctly, while you were still on Corregidor, you tried very hard to get a message through to your mother. Tell us about that, will you?
Well, the final transmission from Corregidor was a message to my mother and the other members of my family. It was received in Honolulu and relayed to Washington, and the Army was good enough to have a colonel deliver it at home.
Mr. Strobing, you're a very lucky man, and we're ever so grateful to you for being with us today.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
I have seen him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camps. They
sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Baby, you got to hang up because I can't get no in calls because you got me on whatever you're doing.